Welcome to the Georgia Bulldogs Podcast, your only source on the web for exclusive content from the Georgia Bulldogs Sports Network, historic game rewinds, and original programming from the Bulldogs. Now, here's this week's episode of Bulldogs Live with Coach Kirby Smart. The following is a presentation of the Georgia Bulldogs Sports Network. Between the hedges and across the state, this is where the dogs play.
We're ready to go.
Go ahead and put it all on the line.
The kick is blocked. It's no good.
He's got a man. Touchdown!
Just a clinic there by the Georgia Bulldogs.
We're just getting started.
Swift by the defense. 30. They won't catch him. Into the end zone. Touchdown!
Here we go.
From the Bulldogs Sports Network, powered by Learfield IMG College and JMI Sports, Bulldogs Live is on the air. Hear from head coach Kirby Smart and get in-depth analysis from Hondo and the Bulldog All-Stars. All that and more is right here on Bulldogs Live. Bulldogs Live is brought to you in part by Piedmont Healthcare, the official healthcare provider of the Georgia Bulldogs. Georgia United Credit Union. Georgia United. Score your official Bulldogs debit card today. Georgia Farm Bureau, always the home team. Southeast Mortgage, the official home loan lender of the Georgia Bulldogs. And by Northside Hospital. Northside Hospital and its employees in North Georgia are proud to support your dogs. Visit Northside.com. Now, alongside head coach Kirby Smart, here's the voice of the Bulldogs, Scott Howard.
Hi again, everyone, and welcome to Bulldogs Live. We're with you each Thursday night from 7 until 9 o'clock throughout the football season. And coming up in the first hour of the show, Coach Kirby Smart will take questions from you via social media and from our audience this evening. And in the second hour, it's the Bulldogs All-Stars. They'll take your phone calls, and that's your chance to talk Bulldogs football with former Georgia players until 9 o'clock tonight. Eric Zier, Brandon Boykin on the show this evening to join host Neil Williamson coming up in hour number two. If you have a question for Coach Smart, you can submit it throughout the week on multiple social media platforms simply by using the hashtag AskCoachSmart, and we'll try to get to as many of your questions as we can here tonight. The Ask the Coach segments are brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. The 10th-ranked Bulldogs are now 5-1 this season after losing to South Carolina 20-17 in double overtime last week. Georgia will be at home Saturday for this season's final game in October, as the Bulldogs welcome 3-3 Kentucky to Athens. The Wildcats even their record with a home win over Arkansas last Saturday night in Lexington, Kentucky. Game time for the Dogs and the Cats in a couple of days, 6 o'clock Saturday night. Georgia will be trying for its 10th straight win in the series. Our coverage of Georgia's Football Saturday from the Tate Center Bookstore Plaza begins at 2 p.m. with the Dog Talk pregame show, followed by the Napa tailgate show at 3 o'clock here on the Bulldogs Sports Network. Our producers and engineers tonight are Adam Gillespie in Athens, Zach Jewell and Cabell Philpott from the Learfield IMG College Network Studios. Special thanks to our friends from Texican Natural Gas for being here tonight as our guest audience. Bulldogs Live returns with Coach Kirby Smart right after this on the Georgia Bulldogs Sports Network.
You're listening to Bulldogs Live. Once again, here's your host, the voice of the Bulldogs, Scott Howard.
Welcome back to Bulldogs Live with Georgia head coach Kirby Smart. We are ready to go as Georgia gets ready to line up against Kentucky on Saturday night at Sanford Stadium, Dooley Field at Sanford Stadium. We'd like to welcome our friends from Texican Natural Gas again as our guest audience tonight. Good to see you guys here tonight. Thanks for being here. And we hope you enjoy the show, had a good meal, and coach, you the same. Good to see you. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great. Great to be here. We've got these Texican folks rocking and rolling, the most boisterous group we've ever had. We've rolled in. Every one of them's on their cell phones, checking their Twitters and Instagrams.
No, is that going to be a problem?
Oh, no, not a problem.
All right, no secrets tonight then, guys. Well, how's your week gone?
It's been really good. The guys have been resilient. They bounced back. A great attitude Monday. I thought that Monday they were like sponges. You know, it's amazing how much they listen after an experience like that. And they did a great job of practice Monday through all the way through today. And been good atmosphere, good attitude, good weather, good temperature.
Is it unfortunate? You said they were like sponges paying attention. Is it unfortunate you have to go through something like that to kind of grab somebody's attention sometimes?
Absolutely it is. I mean, we talk about it all the time. And if you don't learn from your mistakes, what are they? And I think we all know that as coaches, as leaders, and as team members. And every player to the core was sick about it, sick about the performance, just like the coaches were. But at the end of the day, what are you going to do? You're going to pick yourself up and go fight and keep battling, and that's what we're doing. And our guys are getting better, and I thought they had a good week of practice. I thought the energy was really good.
And many times in athletics, you never like to lose, certainly, but many times when you have a situation like that, you come out on the other side better for it because, as you pointed out, you learn a lot of things about yourself.
Yeah, I've always said sometimes the worst thing you can do is play bad and win, because you don't learn the things you have to learn. And certainly would never wish what happened to anybody on us. But the bottom line is it happened, and you got to put on your big boy pants and go out and go fight and get better and grow from it. Because if you don't, then it has a chance to repeat itself.
So you move on this week, and tell us about your preparation for Kentucky.
Well, it's very unique because, you know, Kentucky's they've had different quarterbacks, and even last year's quarterback was unique. He was extremely a really good athlete, but this is a different situation than I've ever had to prepare for in my whole coaching career, because I've never had where the two were more polar opposites, yet you didn't know which one you were going to face. I mean, everybody's got two quarterbacks. I mean, we know that, but very few have quarterbacks that are completely opposite.
Yeah, two playbooks.
Yeah, I mean, they don't even run remotely the same. So it's frustrating because you're trying to prepare for two different things and you don't know which one you're going to get. Where most quarterbacks, the offense doesn't change with the quarterback because you recruit your quarterback to your offense. This kid was not recruited. He was recruited to be an athlete. Yep. And so it changes everything perspective, because there's calls that we make that we may not have one guy on the field or in the front seven that could get him on the ground, because he's not meant to be tackled by linebackers and defensive linemen. He's meant to be tackled by defensive backs and skilled players. So he really created some nightmares for Arkansas. Now, this kid's done this before. He's done it for years. He's just never done it exclusively as a quarterback.
A lot of quarterbacks, a lot of starters in this league have gone down already. And, I mean, we've played a couple of those teams already. Now we're getting another one. Their starter, Terry Wilson, out for the season. Same thing with South Carolina. They've gone to their two and three quarterbacks. What's going on in this league this year with the quarterbacks?
I don't think it's anywhere. I don't think it's going to change. I think it's going to be the way of the world. I think pass rush has become so important in football. The athletes up front, the packages that defenses are putting in, the quarterbacks are trying, you know, be more mobile and moving the pockets and running more. So all those things lead towards, if you're running your quarterback more and you're being more mobile and the defenses are more athletic and they're putting a premium on pass rush, quarterbacks are getting hit more. And I look at the quarterbacks we play this year now, we don't lead the country in sacks by any means. We're a long way off, but we have hit the quarterback more this year than we ever have. And it takes its toll. I mean, every kid we've chased around and had people chasing them and hit them, and we've had a couple, unfortunately, late that have cost us. But you look across the board, that kid last week took a beating, and there was a lot of hits on him that affect him. So you can see why more guys are not playing, because they've been injured.
And we got flagged last week on the hit on Helinski. That was unfortunate, because the pass rusher trips over the offensive lineman and – he's falling down, and did he miss the target zone, or what's the deal?
I'm not allowed to comment on it.
Not even the hit or the tackle?
I would be fined.
But really?
I wish I could talk.
Well, very, I mean, it wasn't
it was very unfortunate, because the bottom line is it's a tough deal. I mean, it is a bad deal. So you can't do anything about it. It's in the past. And it's another one of those times that the field ended up getting flipped on us. But Adam Anderson did trip, and that was unfortunate.
So Georgia and Kentucky coming up Saturday night at 6 o'clock, so you get another night game. The weather may be kind of iffy. So what are your thoughts? I'm sure we've got a question. There it is right there. How do you like a 6 p.m. kick? Right in our list of questions.
I love 6 p.m. kicks. I mean, it doesn't really matter to me. I mean, the later they are, sometimes the tougher they are, and sometimes the earlier they are. Those middle-of-the-road ones are usually really good, and I'm excited to get an opportunity to go back out and play, and I know our guys are. I'm concerned about the weather conditions, because I think you never know what they're going to be, and you don't control them, so it's not a variable that you can't control, and you got to prepare for. So we've shown our kids a lot of things to prepare for this kind of weather.
Oh, we'll just close the roof on Saturday.
Can't do that.
All right. It's Georgia and Kentucky coming up this weekend. 6 o'clock is the kick time. We'll be on the air with you starting at 2 for our coverage of Georgia football here on the Bulldog Sports Network. So we hope you join us then. Stay with us. We've got your questions for the coach here on Bulldogs Live when we come back on the Bulldog Sports Network. Bulldogs Live with Coach Kirby Smart, and we've got questions from you sent in via social media. If you have a question for the coach, you can submit it anytime during the week using the hashtag AskCoachSmart, and we'll run through as many as we can during the show tonight. And the Ask the Coach segment is brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. Ask the Coach, Academy Sports and Outdoors, proud partner of UGA Athletics. All right, Coach, let's grab some of these from the social media bin. Phil in Savannah, kind of jump on what we talked about in the first segment. Phil wants to know how the energy at practice has been for you this week.
This group's been great. They've been great every week. I mean, I'll be honest with you, there's been no ups and downs, highs and lows, no whining and complaining, no we do too much work. We don't – I mean, they haven't been that kind of group. They've done what they've been asked to do. They do it really hard, and they work the right way. We had the I guess it was the Tennessee week that we had so much heat, and it was really hot. And I thought we went inside a lot that week. And then you know, last week it was much cooler, and then this week it's been great. So we've been outside most of the week, and they've had really good practices.
Have you had some groups in your coaching days that did whine and moan and complain a lot?
Oh yeah. They won a lot of games too, some of them. But so the two don't coexist. I mean, it's not like one doesn't happen without the other. I remember we had one time that thought we were practicing too hard. I won't say where I was or what we were doing, but you know, when you start playing big time games and for championships, you want it to be that way, you know. And that part's been embraced. That culture's been embraced, and I think that's something that's important.
Was that voiced by one guy or by a group?
Oh, it might be a group. It might be a couple of players. It might be a position group. You know, it's different places. But I think it's important that you sell that as why you do what you do. Why do we do what we do? Because a lot of places, I mean, a lot of kids nowadays, they don't not like when we were growing up. And I say this, and I'm 43, but you got told what to do and you just did it. You know, and you're like, okay, yes, sir, I'll go do it, and that's it. Now, you have to explain why you want them to do it. They need to know why it's important, because they don't – a lot of times they don't buy into it unless you really explain why.
Our next question is from Roger in McDonough, Georgia. Does the team use the indoor facility when it's raining, or do you guys like to get some work in out in the elements?
No, we like to get work out in the elements, and we don't get a lot of opportunities. Our biggest problem is I like going in the rain probably – once every 2 or 3 weeks, but if it's lightning, I can't. So then you're not controlling that.
Yep.
But we have what we call wet ball drill, and we do it probably once every 2 weeks. It's kind of on a rolling schedule. So even if you've gone 2 or 3 weeks without a wet practice, we spray the ball down and make the quarterback and receivers catch it, throw it, exchange it, kickers, holders, snappers, punter. I mean, everybody has to. So we were out there doing it today, spraying it down just to make it as hard as possible.
You kind of have to create your own weather, because we haven't had any rain around here in the last couple of months, and then looks like Saturday night we're going to be in for some.
Yeah, we may be in for some, and we try to get them acclimated as best you can to that.
Otis in Valdosta, Georgia, what does Kentucky do offensively that jumps out at you?
Well, they got speed at the quarterback position. I mean, the biggest thing is they've got unique runs, quarterback runs and design runs, and off of those runs they've got pop passes. I liken it to playing – the triple option, because your eye control and who you have is so different than traditional football. Like every snap we've had so far this year, there's not one defense that would carry over to what you play when you play Lynn Bowden. It's completely different. You say, well, why don't you just play the same defense? Well, you don't have enough people, because you have to have somebody that can tackle him. And that's the hard part. Now, people would say the advantage is, well, he's not as good a passer, but when he drops back to pass, if you go cover, he'll just take off running. So he creates a very unique dynamic to defend.
How did Arkansas do last week? I mean, he had almost 200 yards rushing, but a big chunk of that came on that last possession.
Yeah.
I think he almost had 70 yards rushing on that last possession late in the ball game.
Yeah,
so they certainly didn't do well there.
Right. I mean, it was 130 besides that. I mean, he ran the ball pretty much whenever he wanted to all over the field, and it's frustrating because you have traditional defenses that don't fit. And we've dealt with that before because of Georgia Tech, but it's not the same defense you play against Georgia Tech. You just have to change things up, and sometimes change is tough on 18, 19-year-olds.
Bill in Bogart says, what can you say about the job Mark Stoops has done at Kentucky?
Pretty incredible, pretty remarkable when you think about it. I mean, I don't know that he's going to reach that point this year. It'd be interesting to see, but I know at one time he was one of the only coaches maybe in college football that had increased or matched his win total every year, meaning he won as many as he won the year four or more consecutively for however many years. And to me, that's impressive. When you're doing that in the SEC, going against the teams that he has to go against week in and week out, it's pretty incredible.
This is Academy Sports and Outdoors Ask the Coach. Coach Kirby Smart here on Bulldogs Live. Academy Sports and Outdoors is a proud partner of UGA Athletics. More of your questions for the coach coming up right after we pause for these words on the Georgia Bulldogs Sports Network.
You're listening to Bulldogs Live. Once again, here's your host, the voice of the Bulldogs, Scott Howard.
And it's time for our Bulldogs Player of the Week presented by Primerica. Primerica, the only company positioned to make the maximum impact on Main Street families. Bulldogs sophomore punter Jake Camarda from Norcross, Georgia, is our Player of the Week. He had one of his best special teams performances for the Dogs, punting three times in last week's game. For an average of almost 58 yards, his effort included a career-long kick of 66 yards, and two of his three punts were downed inside the 20-yard line. Georgia currently fifth in the SEC in net punt, while Camarda's individual average is 45.9 yards. That's fourth best in league play. Sophomore punter Jake Camarda, the Bulldogs Player of the Week, and it's presented by Primerica. All right, question from our friends here from Texican Natural Gas. They're our audience tonight here in Athens, and this is Jeff. Jeff, hey, good to have you here. What's your question for the coach?
Coach, I was wondering, during the pregame when the team runs out of the tunnel, how is the player chosen to run through the banner? How is that chosen?
That's a great question. There is no choosing. I mean, it's basically the players themselves. They don't appoint anybody. I mean, you can judge someone's character sometimes by if they really want to be in the front of that or they want to be in the back of it. But we don't line up single file jersey numbers alphabetical. We just get out there and go. And you know, some kids are more excited to chomping at the bit to come flying out. And it's always interesting to me to see who it is. You never see the old heads doing it. You know what I mean? It's always the young bulls that want to run down there and come out first, where the old guys like to kind of creep out. But I don't have anything to do with it. I think that it's fun for them, and they like doing it.
Jeff, thanks for your question. Appreciate you being here tonight. It used to be Meekole. He did it.
Yeah, he did it a lot.
Like he was the first one through on a regular basis.
I think they've realized that they'll be on like some video or social media if they do it. So the society we live in today, they want to be on the front of everything.
Well, it's certainly an exciting time when they unleash the junkyard dogs now, as they say in the stadium. Back to your questions from social media. Brennan in Social Circle, Georgia, who would you say is the toughest player on the team?
That's tough. I mean, we got some guys now, guys that pop to mind. Let's think, David Marshall. He's been through a lot of injuries. I mean, he never complains. He just works. Charlie Warner, to me, is another guy that played on half a broken leg in the Rose Bowl and never even said anything about it. And I mean, he gets stepped on, clawed on, and just keeps on working. Andrew Thomas is a guy who's played through a lot of injuries, never complains anything, and just, you know, it's usually those guys in the trenches that are the toughest, because the guys on the perimeter, when they get a fingernail or scratch, they're hurt, and the guys inside, they play so much more physical, and they can endure so much more.
How about in the weight room? Who's somebody that's kind of a beast in the weight room?
You mean toughness beast or lifting beast?
Well, maybe they kind of go together. You know, you got somebody that's really, I mean, that's...
Well, Big Ben's just strong, country strong. I mean, he's picks up trees and moves mountains and does all these unique things, and he's got the folklore to be that guy.
That's good stuff. How much does he bench press?
I couldn't even tell you. More than anybody else on the team.
Wow.
Means a lot.
Let's see, JT in Buford, Georgia. How much does Brian Herrien mean to the running back room, and will you be excited to insert him back into the offense? He didn't. Yeah. He wasn't able to play last week.
That was a tough one because the toughest thing about that one, we couldn't even anticipate it. I mean, it came out of really nowhere, and it's very unfortunate, and hated it for him in his senior year. He had a really, really good game against South Carolina last year with some really big runs. But he's big to the room because he provides the spark and energy in practice. I mean, he's a guy that – he gives you everything he's got every day in practice. He's first in line for special teams. He runs the ball in practice like it's his last carry. You know, he's not trying to protect himself. He just goes out there and cuts it loose. And he creates a little bit of a energy and demeanor that's really good. So it's nice to have him out there doing that. And it was unfortunate we didn't have him Saturday.
I don't know if it's an evolutional process, but he has evolved in a very nice power back for you, running between the tackles. Was he like that when he started here?
Yeah, he's got really good vision. He's a one-cut runner. He doesn't try to dance. I think he recognizes that he's not going to outrun people to the sideline, so he likes to hit things. He's more patient. He just likes to hit things up inside. He's not really that big. You know, he's 200 pounds, but right. He runs with power. And when he commits to a run, he commits.
How is he this week? Is he?
He's been good. He's
a little bit better.
He's been better. He's not been bothered by it, and he's done everything we've asked him to do.
All right, JT, there you go. There's your answer to Brian Herrien, and we'll grab one more before the break here. This is from Rich in Greenwood, South Carolina. In practice, which of the wide receivers is the toughest in a one-on-one matchup?
Well, it probably just depends on who's covering him. I mean, it is a matchup, exactly that. If it's a big guy, he's probably tougher on our small corners, and if he's a small, quick guy, he's probably tougher on our big corners. So a little bit of it is who is he up against. But when you talk about one-on-ones, there's a lot of those guys, Tyler, Cager, George. Those guys do a good job in one-on-ones, and we have a lot of competitive matches, you know, during practice to prepare them for what they're going to get in the game. And we've done a lot of that every week.
On the other side of that, who would you say is your best cover corner?
Well, I mean, nobody really stands out right now. DJ's done a good job in one-on-one. Stokes has done a good job when he's been healthy. Tyson's been out. And the two Tyreeks have done a good job. So there's not like a clear cut, this guy's going to win every time. They're all unique to themselves. They all have strengths that are different than the other guys.
It's Georgia and Kentucky Saturday night, 6 o'clock at Dooley Field at Sanford Stadium. Hope to see you there. If you can't be there, certainly tune in the Bulldog Sports Network starting at 2 o'clock for our coverage of Georgia football. We'll continue with your questions for the coach, Academy Sports and Outdoors. Ask the Coach here on Bulldogs Live. We'll be back right after this on the Bulldog Sports Network. Bulldogs Live continues. Coach Kirby Smart taking your questions from social media and from our friends here at Texican Natural Gas as our guest audience tonight. And dog fans, don't forget to tune in this Sunday at midnight for the latest episode of Kirby Smart All Access on WSB TV Channel 2. This week, inside linebackers coach Glenn Schumann will be mic'd up, and you'll go behind the scenes to get to know running back Brian Herrien and wide receiver Tyler Simmons. That's Kirby Smart All Access Sunday at midnight on WSB TV Channel 2 or anytime on GeorgiaDogs.com. Back to your questions for Coach Kirby Smart. Sam in Athens wants to know, Kirby, when you will join Throwdown Thursday for a guest appearance.
No. My wife tries to get me to join every week, but I never know what those guys are doing or what their purpose is, and if I did that, I'd probably be in the training room.
And we're talking about, for those that don't know, that's your strength and conditioning coaches doing a little video stuff every Thursday.
That's
feats of strength.
Yeah, they're pushing up like buses up hills and stuff like that. I did all that when I played here. I'm done with that.
Paul in Noonan, Georgia, on average, how many calories does an offensive lineman eat per day?
Man, I have no idea. I know this. They go through snacks and meals and the night before games, the day of games. Our nutritionist, Collier, does a tremendous job. But she could probably tell you how many calories or how many they need to have, not necessarily how many they do have, but it's off the charts what some of our guys eat.
Todd in Colorado wants to know what the team eats for pregame meal and what time it is in conjunction with kickoff.
Yeah, it's 4 hours prior to kickoff every week, no matter what, and it's a plethora. I mean, it's like Thanksgiving feast. I mean, it's mostly pasta. They always have steak. They always have potatoes. They have, I mean, it's just everything. Lasagna, spaghetti, meatballs, grilled chicken. I mean, they have everything. And the table setting would blow your brain. I mean, there's every kind of sauce from ketchup, A1, Heinz. It blows my brain. I mean, they have everything there. Anything, just the hot sauce. I mean, it's spoiled rotten.
Do you participate in that too, or are you not real hungry at that time?
No, I always go in there and get a little snack and just try to get the mood of the room and be there, be present.
Grant in Madison, Georgia, if you had to put an offensive lineman at quarterback for one series, who would you pick?
Man, that's tough. Probably Cade or Andrew. They're both grew up athletes. You know, you grow up an athlete, you line up. Isaiah Wilson played some tailback in high school, so he could probably be a wildcat and jump back there. But most of these kids are good athletes. That's why they're good O-linemen, and they played a different position growing up. So I'd go one of those guys.
So you want to go on the record and say Isaiah Wilson, you know, look out for that? That could be
we got plenty of backs.
Opponents down the road.
We need the linemen to be linemen first.
Let's see. Mindy in Decatur, which of our backs would you say is the most natural receiver?
Well, that's tough. Swift's just so smooth at it and has explosive quickness. He's probably one of the better ones, but James has done a great job with it. Brian's got great hands, and Kenny's that way. I mean, really is. And Zamir, I mean, they all are really catch the ball well and better than backs we've had in the past, but the most natural receiver is probably DeAndre.
Sony was really good at that.
Sony's very natural.
And he's still pretty good at it, you know, in his second
year
in the league.
At that level, you have – I mean, that's the first thing they look for is they're going to throw it to you at backfield. It's just so hard to run it in their league.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. How valuable an asset is that for a back to be able to catch the football once you go to that next level?
Oh, it's a missing requirement.
It's a moneymaker.
I mean, yeah, you're not going to be there for long if you can't catch it because they're not handing it to you as much as they're throwing it to you.
William in Atlanta, do you still get chills when you come out of the tunnel?
Absolutely. I think the time you lose that, you lose all interest in being the coach. I mean, I think every time you walk out there on that field, it's a special occasion. There's names and the memories and the people counting on this program and what it means to the players and kids in the program. Absolutely. I think it's an opportunity to go out and make a statement for this university and this state, and that's something we take a lot of pride in.
Kevin is here from our friends from Texican Natural Gas. Kevin, what's your question for the coach? Good to see you, by the way.
Thank you. It's a two-part question. Who's the hardest hitter on the team, and how's N'Kobe Dean doing?
First part, hardest hitter on the team, I would probably say Otis Reese has probably had some of our biggest hits. He is a high collision, high velocity, and likes to sticky. Lewis is that way, and Monty Rice is probably in that category as well. N'Kobe's doing really well. N'Kobe is, you know, had it not been for the ankle injury, I think he would be further along than he is, but he's gotten better and better and better every week. I think he understands as he gets into a game plan, he kind of gets the game plan. Then we have another one the next week, and they're, like, pretty similar, and he has a grasp of it. And it's like each week he gets more and more of it, and he's played a lot on third down. We've rotated him in there on first and second. And some games are harder than others. Last week was extremely unique because the speed of the game, talking about the hurry up no huddle, was a nightmare, so it made it harder to play more people. But you know, when the game slows down and it's not a fast paced game, we get to play more guys.
Kevin, thanks for your questions, appreciate you being here. This is Bulldogs Live with Coach Kirby Smart. We'll step aside for just a few minutes here for these words, and back to your questions for the coach in just a moment here on the Bulldog Sports Network.
You're listening to Bulldogs Live. Once again, here's your host, the voice of the Bulldogs, Scott Howard.
Stick around just more than 15 minutes. It'll be the Bulldogs All-Stars taking your calls and questions about Bulldog football tonight. Talk with a couple of former Georgia players tonight. Neil Williamson, your host for hour number two on the Bulldogs All-Stars. And Bulldogs basketball season is here. Coach Tom Crean's Dogs will play the first of their two exhibition games this season tomorrow night at Stegman Coliseum. Georgia will face Valdosta State, 7 o'clock. Admission is free. It's a brand-new Georgia basketball team this season with 10 new players on the roster, 5 returning from last year's squad. For more information on Georgia basketball and the Dogs preseason contest with Valdosta State tomorrow night, you can click on GeorgiaDogs.com. More questions for Coach Kirby Smart as he's got his team ready to go against Kentucky this week. That's a 6 o'clock game Saturday night, Dooley Field at Sanford Stadium. Mark in Lawrenceville, Coach, what position group has shown the most improvement since the start of the year?
Oh, boy. I feel like they're all improving. Each one is, in its individual right, has gotten better. I mean, probably the one that had the furthest to go and may still have the furthest to go, but may have come the furthest is the receivers group. I think when you look across the board with the 3 draft picks and then Nada and Holyfield leaving, you know, the biggest hole was there. And the toughest thing is the, you know, everybody talks about the O-line and the circling and the changing out of the O-line and the people been in and out. It's been the wideouts that's been the toughest because Cager hadn't been able to practice a couple weeks and been able to play, and he's been injured, and then Tyler's been out, D-Rob's been out. I mean, there's been a lot of guys that have been Kiaris gets out the first game and lost some continuity there. So the kind of circling of those guys has been really hard because each one has been out, and we're just not real deep at that position.
Pickens caught the ball well for us last week.
Absolutely. Pickens catches the ball really well. He's one of the most natural pass catchers I've seen.
Jeff in Crawford, Georgia, which practice day of the week is the most competitive and grueling?
Yeah, Tuesday. I mean, Tuesday and Wednesday are similar. Wednesday is a shaved off Tuesday, so Tuesday is a grinder, and we get after it pretty hard, and probably more, I don't know this, but probably harder than most others. I mean, you talk as coaches to other people, and you try to share ideas to make sure you're not doing too much, too little, but most people we talk to, we're probably doing more than some of those, but we like to think we've got good depth, and we try to use that wisely, and it's always good to have a balance and know when to back off of them.
Do you remember those days when I think it was Hal Mumme was the coach at Kentucky, and I think they had a process where they – I don't know if they completely did away with contact during the week or they really pulled back on it during the week and did other things, but they didn't hit as much. The thinking was that they would be
fresher.
Yeah, fresher for the game to hit in the game, but I don't know how that worked.
Yeah, he's not there anymore. So
he is not. Well, what would make it? What would make your practices grueling? As the question was, that's not your word, but that was how the question was phrased.
The grueling part would be the pace of the practice. The okay, we're in this part of the practice. We're in this part of the practice. We're high tempo. We want to be moving. Look, they only give us a certain number of hours per day in the NCAA. You have to use every minute. So if I'm using 16 minutes of transition time in a 2-hour practice, I'm going to make it where we're using 5 minutes of transition time and we get those 11 back because I only have so much time and every minute is critical. It's like we show our guys the NASCAR group when they pull in with a car and they change 4 tires and they get the pit crew and they're out. That's what we're trying to do at practice. So we want to be as efficient as possible. We want to know where we're practicing, where we're doing what drill, how fast can we do it, because if you don't do that, you go over time and you miss an opportunity to grow and get better. And then the cumulative effect of 10 Tuesdays during the season, that's a lot of time that you just missed. So, and I hated as a player to not know what I was doing or not be efficient in time. Well, I want to get on and off the field. I got class to worry about. I got other things to do. So don't have me just sitting out here to sit out here. Let's get our work done. Let's be really process-oriented about it and organized. And we think we get more in 2 hours than anybody else, and we try to make it that way.
These questions came in via the hashtag AskCoachSmart on social media. Marvin in Ohio wants to know if you have a favorite football moment or a UGA athletic moment. And then his second part of the question was, who is your favorite country music star of all time?
I can't say a country music star because I'd probably get somebody mad. I mean, I got a lot of country music friends that I enjoy listening to their music. I listen to a lot of guys, Eric Church, Luke Bryan. I mean, there's a lot of guys that I enjoy listening to. I'm probably more of a classical, old school George Strait. I mean, I like good country music, but that's not the only kind of music I listen to. That's just sometimes what I enjoy.
You got to be versatile, right?
That's right. You got to be able to do it all. And I do like all kinds of music except heavy metal. That drives me nuts. And then what did you
say? Favorite football moment or UGA athletic moment?
Wow, I don't know. There's been some really good ones, the UGA athletic moments, of whether it was when I played as a player, coached here and won the SEC championship. The SEC championship we've won. There's been a lot of them. I mean, so it's my proudest moments, honestly, and people don't believe this, are when our players graduate. I mean, it is an accomplishment when you come here as a student athlete and you might not have the same academic backgrounds, accolades, boards, test scores, GPAs as the kids you're competing against. And when you walk across that stage and you get that diploma, I can promise you they earned it at the University of Georgia. And that's one of the finer moments that I get to share with our players when they graduate.
That's certainly a big deal and a great feeling for everybody. Thanks for your question, Marvin. We appreciate it. This is Bulldogs Live with Coach Kirby Smart. We'll have a few more questions for the coach when we come back after this on the Bulldogs Sports Network. Bulldogs Live with Coach Kirby Smart, and if you missed any of Coach Smart's comments on tonight's show, not to worry. You can hear them on the brand-new Georgia Bulldogs podcast. That's podcast, P-A-W-D-cast. Be sure to subscribe now. You'll find exclusive on-demand audio content from the Georgia Bulldogs Sports Network, including Coach Smart's weekly press conference, Sunday morning's Bulldog Brunch, throwback game broadcast, and the show you're listening to right now, Bulldogs Live. Subscribe and download the podcast today. All right, final few questions for Coach Smart before we turn it over to the Bulldogs All-Stars just after the top of the hour. Lee in South Georgia, Coach, wants to know, what are the top qualities you look for in a recruit?
Well, competitive toughness. I've always said that. I mean, you can take a lot of things, but competitive toughness and ability to focus and concentrate. I think in my wisdom of years of being involved in recruiting, I'm finding that it's a lot more important to get a kid that football's important to than a kid that just playing the NFL or just, you know, that's the most important thing to them. They may not care one bit about the University of Georgia or who they're playing. It may be all about getting to the next level or can you get me paid. I'm a lot more interested in a guy that wants to win for his team, that'll make sacrifices for his team, and has competitive toughness. Day in and day out, they go out and compete really hard. And the hardest thing is figuring out who those kids are,
right?
Because I know the traits I want. I don't know who always has them. And the information you can get on recruits is somewhat limited, so you don't ever know. Nobody's going to tell you he doesn't have it. Go to his high school and ask him. Oh, he's got it. He's got it. He's got. But they're not going. You got to dig and you got to find.
And you may not know that until you meet them face to face, right?
Oh, you don't know when you meet them face to face. They're going to answer all your questions, right? I mean, you don't get to test them until they've taken a loss, until they've had some adversity, until they've got hit in the mouth, you know, by somebody that's just like them. And those are response mechanisms we don't always get to see.
Let's see. Brian in Georgia, would you like to reveal the type of player Nate McBride is? Can you say a few things about Nate?
Number one, he's explosive. He's really athletic. He's fast. He's physical. He's dealt with some injuries during his career. I think some of those injuries have held him back because each time he's climbed up to get in there with the twos and he's rotating, he's had an injury last fall camp and an injury this fall camp, but he's overcome them every time. And he doesn't shy away from it. You know, he wants to get back out there and do some really good things. And as he's learned our defense and he's played at a high level, and then when he's been injured, it's set him back some. But we're expecting great things from him, and he's been a huge asset to our team.
He's been on a lot of your special team units as long as he's been here, right?
Oh, he's dependable, he's fast, and he's physical. I mean, he's got the qualities you want of a good player and a great person.
I remember when he signed here, the speed was one of the things that jumped out about him. I've never seen him, like, run in a 40 or have a contest, but how would you compare his speed? Who's he as fast as?
Oh, he's fast. He's fastest. I mean, he's faster than a lot of our DBs, and he plays linebacker. But, I mean, he had a play just this week. It was like, wow, he flashed how fast he was. And he continues to do that, and he's going to be a big help for us, and we've got to keep finding roles for him.
All right, Brian, thanks for your question. A few words about Nate McBride for you. You can send in your questions anytime for Coach Smart. Ask Coach Smart is the hashtag. Coach, good luck against Kentucky. Thanks for your time.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys. I look forward to seeing you Saturday night.
All right. That's Coach Kirby Smart. Stay tuned now for more Bulldogs Live and the Bulldogs All-Stars. They're next here on the Bulldogs Sports Network.
Thanks for listening to the Georgia Bulldogs podcast, your only source on the web for exclusive content from the Georgia Bulldogs Sports Network. Historic game rewinds and original programming from the Bulldogs. Make sure you comment, subscribe, and rate this programming to continue to receive the best in Bulldogs content. Go Dogs!